Hi there. Thank you for allowing me to be a part of your journey today. I am your host, K-Town, and you're listening to Mysterious Radio. Tonight's edition was from my podcast called Bizarre Times that I have since discontinued, and I hope you enjoy it. So tell me about the sightings in New Mexico. Are they prevalent out there? I haven't heard anything myself. But.
Oh, yeah. We get quite a few reports along the San Juan River and the Animas River. And then we got some mountains, you know, on the reservations and on the state side. Colorado Mountains, we get reports from that way. Roaming around out in the mountains, people hearing them yell and stuff like that. The same way with along the rivers. A lot of people hear them yelling, or there's also sightings along the river, or some see them walking around in the river.
Really? Okay. So, all right. So tell me, you are a researcher, and I'm wondering, are you getting sightings very often, or is it sporadic, or what?
That's pretty often. Probably about maybe 2-3 times a week, or even more, especially during the summertime, spring, well, throughout the whole year, really, in the area that we live. But this past fall, it's been kind of a little bit quiet. But usually spring on, you know, they start coming out a little bit more.
Oh, really? Okay. When you say that people are seeing these creatures along the river and things like that, what are they saying that they're seeing them doing? I mean, what are they doing down there? Are they drinking or?
Drinking the water. And then also some of them see them bend over like they're trying to catch a fish. Looking for food in the, you know, like I said, sound like a fishing. but yeah, they usually hunch down, drinking the water. Also, like I said, they try to catch fish, and usually they do, and they'll eat on that.
Is it normally a group of people that see them, or are you getting more of a kind of people that are out by themselves reporting them?
Some of them is. People are by themselves, or maybe two people, you know, a couple would see them. And it's very rare that a whole group of people would see them. It's usually individually, or maybe 2 or 3 people at a time that'll see them. But or they hear them, you know. There's quite a few people that live along the rivers that do hear them yell late at night.
They're yelling? I mean, what are they doing? They're yelling or... knocking on trees. I mean, I don't know what all they do, but
they do a lot of whooping, like whoop calls, howling calls, some even whistle. Also, they'll do like some tree knocks as well.
Some tree knocks, okay. And when you, I just lost my train of thought here as far as seeing them. Okay, so when they're eating. When people are observing them eat, and they're out, maybe it's 2 or 3 of them with everyone, you know, basically having cell phones. I mean, surely someone is trying to get a video or a picture or something like that. I mean, have you seen that out there?
Oh, you know, there is a lot of people that do have pictures, but they won't share. And I don't blame them because, you know, they will get made fun of, like, oh, that's fake. You know, that's why a lot of the people, they won't share the pictures or videos that they have. And, you know, I don't blame them.
It's, you know what, to kind of cut through the BS of, you know, people being ridiculed about having such pictures, and I can certainly understand why they would be hesitant to share it. But...
yeah.
Wouldn't you encourage them to just pass along the video or picture or whatever it is that they have to maybe an expert or someone that people deem credible, so that it can be known that they really did see something. I mean, what do you say about that?
You know, that would be nice if they would, but, you know, a lot of the people, they don't trust the individual that they'll, you know, share the picture with. And the reason that is because a lot of times, and I've seen this, that an individual will share a picture with a research group, and a lot of the times they will actually take the person that actually took the picture, will take the name off of that picture and put their name on it, saying that they took the pictures.
Yeah.
So that is another reason why that, you know, that a lot of the people, they won't share. I mean, they'll, you know, yeah, share and they'll look at the picture, but they will not send the picture to that individual.
Have you seen anything?
I've seen quite a few of them. And
that look real to you. I mean, that it wasn't photoshopped or anything like that.
Oh no. Not photoshopped. No. Very good pictures. Some are really, but some of them are pretty clear, and it's like, wow.
Same type of creature that was spotted, in the Patterson Gimlin film, or is this something totally different or similar?
It's similar to that.
It is. Okay.
Some are same big, color. Very muscular. No, some of them are white, salt and pepper looking color, reddish brown, black.
Interesting. Okay. I would love to see some of those myself. Okay. So let's talk about you and, you know, your background. So when did, and you've had your own encounters with Sasquatch yourself. So can you tell us about the earliest one that you remember?
We'll be back. The one that was pretty much close, face to face. When you greet someone at the door and you open the door, boom, it's standing there. That's how close it was. And that was early in 2000. When I had my two young kids with me, you know, it was making noise outside and stuff. And, you know, I had my youngest brother there, and I opened the door. We heard things. My dogs were crying under the porch, and I'm like, well, what the heck is that? And I hear something walking up. And this was like during the summertime. My husband had just left for work and graveyard shift, and it was just me and the kids and their cousins there and one of my youngest brother. And, you know, this thing actually turned the doorknob, and I was trying to, you know, like, I had my brother open the doors. Maybe somebody's just trying to scare us or something. But, you know, he's still frozen, but I went over there and I opened it, and boom, there it was.
Standing at your front door.
At the front door, yes.
Doing what?
It was turning the doorknob as if it was trying to come in. And I thought maybe it was just the kid's dad or someone trying to come in and scare us or something at the door, you know. And I'm like, okay, what is this? But what caught my attention too was I heard my dogs, they were really whimpering and crying, and they were underneath the porch crying. And I'm like, what in the world? And, you know, that's when I tried to get my brother open the door, and nothing. And then I went to the door and undid locks. As soon as I undid the locks, I could hear it let go of the doorknob. I just swung the door open, and it was standing right there in front of me. I was like, wow. I'm like, I didn't know what to say, you know. And I was like, oh, crap, you know, froze for a sec, you know, and it just darted off the porch.
Okay, so we just turned around and left once you made eye contact with it?
Yeah. I mean, as soon as I opened it, you know, it's like a second or two, it just stood there like I scared it when I threw the door open, and then it just started right off the porch.
Did you get did it leave any footprints or evidence that it had been there, you know, either on your front porch or anywhere around your house?
Let's see there. It did leave some footprints. you know, when you, at the time we were living in the mobile home, and we had some gravel walking up towards the steps there onto the porch. So we couldn't really quite make out some footprints there, but the parts of the ground was pretty hard. But in the back of the house there, it did, it was kind of muddy back there, and it did leave a good foot impression back there in the back.
Did you get a picture of that or a cast of that?
Oh, no. No, I didn't. At that time, no, I didn't do it. And the best way that I can describe how the footprint looked, it had three toes. And, you know, I don't know if you've ever seen the movie Legend of Boggy Creek.
No, I haven't.
When the two young boys that were down at the creek, they found the footprint there. And that's exactly what it looked like. From that movie, that's the same kind of footprint that I found.
Really?
That my husband and I found the next morning after he had come back from the graveyard shift, and he pulled in about 7. And, you know, I told him what had happened throughout the whole night. And we walked around, and that's when we came across that footprint behind the house there.
What about any hair? You find any hair or anything like that?
No, I at the time I wasn't looking for hair, just the footprints, what I was looking for. And I'm sure there was some hair on the porch, but I didn't even bother to look for that.
Now that you've had time to look back on it, I'm interested to know if you know or think, or what you think would be the reason why it would try to come inside your home.
Yeah, that's one thing that, you know, surprises me today. What did it want? Why was it trying to come in? You know, I have no idea. Even still today, I've gotten reports of it walking right into some people's home. And, you know, it startled the husband and the wife, and they didn't know what to do. And the thing walked in, and there's the husband and wife sitting, and they, you know, it scared them to death. And it, the guy got in, kind of like, how can I put it? Like, get out, you know, but like in a, like in demand voice, you know, like, hey, you know, you get after someone, you kind of really yell out. And I guess that's what the husband did. And it just started right back out the door. And I've gotten reports like that too. And then not only that, you know, others, I said, yeah, it's playing with the doorknob, like it's trying to get in. What does it want? And they throw the question back at me, like, you know, I have no idea, because I've had experienced the same thing. And like I said, you know, to this day, I think about it a lot. Like, what did it want? What drew them to our home and wanted to get in? I just don't have an answer for that right now. I don't know.
That is interesting there. Okay, so you are a Navajo, so can you give us some, like, can you give us some history, you know, what your people have said about Sasquatch, you know, if that came up in your legends and things like that?
No, well, among the natives on the Navajo people, we're told we shouldn't even be talking about this. You just leave them alone. If it wants to take a sheep, just let it take it. It's hungry. Let it take it. Just leave it alone. Don't bother it. Don't even go look for it, they say. I get that from a lot of the elder people. They always say that to me. Even some other people, you know, they like, don't bother them. Just leave them alone. But then I get other reports of like somebody that you're dissing is bothering us. What do we do? They don't like it. There's a lot of people out here on the reservation that don't like these things that come around their home. What do we do? You know, so I, you know, kind of share some things with them. But now, you know, being that there's a lot more sightings, and some of these people go to their elders, like, what do we do? Because this thing's bothering us. Well, some will say, well, just leave it a food or something, but way far away. Don't put it too close to your home. But, you know, I'll tell them, no, don't do that, because you draw them in. And then they'll bring more in, and then they're going to want more food. So, you know, and that is another reason why the elders will say, don't bother them. Just leave them alone. And so, you know, I share with the people, you know, so many things to do this and do that. You know, the most important one is to get a lot of light on around your property. So, because they don't like light. Even if you put a flashlight on them, they usually cover their eyes because they don't like the brightness.
Okay, so you're saying that the people put lights around their property to keep them away?
Yeah, that helps. But I also tell them that beware, because they are becoming more daring out in the light. So be careful, even if you put the lights out there. They're like, okay, so, you know, I'm like, all right, so just be aware. So be careful. Was it several years ago, probably about, I'm going to say maybe 15 years ago, you know, we would get reports. You know, I would get some sightings, and I could hear something yelling, you know. And during that time, there was hardly anybody that had streetlights. Now, 2009, that's when it just like, boom, this thing's coming around people's property, taking their sheep, dogs, cats are missing. What do we do? It's scratching up my horses, you know. And I would tell the people, you know, put some light up. The more light you can get up, especially around your livestock, around the corral, you know, that helps keep them at bay. Or get some game cameras and put them up. I don't know how they know. Every time we put a game camera up in an area where it's really active, they know what those things are, and they stay away. And it works. And so, you know, now, today, like I said, people are putting lights up and all. Back like 15, 20 years ago, there was hardly any street light. But now, on several people in the area where I live, there's some families that have about 3 to 4 street lights on their property. They've really brightened it up, and that's really helped them a lot. But, you know, I always tell them just be aware, you know, because they do come out still. So just be very careful out there.
So they are afraid of them.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Okay. So let's talk about that a little bit more. So do the Navajo believe that the Sasquatch are evil? I mean, it sounds like it.
A lot of them do. Yes. They do believe that they are evil. They're no good. They're mean. And then, but you get some that say, oh no, they're nice. And, you know, and a lot of them are like, no, you better be careful because they could turn on you, and they could turn on you at any time. You know, and I always tell the people, you be careful out there. You know, they see you can't just make friends with them, and one day they might just turn on you and hurt you. So you got to be careful regardless. You know, people say, oh, they're nice and blah, blah, blah. You know, well, you got to be careful.
Has anyone reported to you there on, do you live on the reservation? I don't want to make any assumptions or anything.
Yeah. Yes.
Okay. Has anyone reported to you experiencing anything like paranormal connected to the Sasquatch ever?
Oh, yeah. Yes. I always get people that say when there's a Sasquatch around, there's usually always some, what do you call it, orbs or a bright light. What else? Like strange sounds that's not of coming from a Bigfoot. They usually say, yeah, a UFO is in the area. And usually,
yeah, I was going to ask you about that.
UFO, it seems like a Bigfoot's around all the time.
Really? Okay, so some of them believe that the UFO sightings may have a direct connection with the Sasquatch there on the reservation.
Yeah, oh yeah. You know, they always say that every time that thing comes around, or if there's a UFO around, usually Bigfoot's around somewhere.
Are you guys having quite a few UFO sightings on the reservation?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Tell me about some of those.
The past several years, there's been quite a few UFO sightings along the Chuska Mountains. And out there in Shiprock, New Mexico. There's a pinnacle, Shiprock Pinnacle, but a big old rock. There's usually, I've had a lot of people report a sighting above that Shiprock rock out there, the pinnacle out there. Also, there's another place that's called the Hogback area. A lot of sightings in that area as well.
Really? Huh. Have you experienced anything in those? Sorry about that. Have you experienced anything in those mountains yourself?
I've had several encounters out there in the a place, what they call the Puchigai Mountain, where we've had a Bigfoot whoop several times when we were camping in an area. Also, we've had my sisters. One of my sisters, her and I went out there, I think it was 2009 in October. We went out there to see if we could get some vocalizations and all. We've had an experience there. And then 2016, I believe it was, I took my oldest sister and her boys, my two nephews, and we went out there late at night to see if we could get, again, some vocalizations. And we had a pretty scary experience there, where just being really, it just...
What happened? What happened out there?
Ran out with us. We were in this area where I'd like to go camping in, and it's a very dark valley, and we sat there for about an hour, but within that hour, we were hearing twigs break and some weird sounds, and then all of a sudden, I just get this really bad feeling, like, I think we better get out of here, and my nephew started hearing some growling. So we pulled out of there, out of this valley there, and then we just sat on the outside skirt so we could, we needed to hurry and get out, you know, the roads there, the main road there. So we sat there not even 5 minutes to the west, which would be behind us. I hear this from a distance, a loud boom. And I'm like, whoa, did you guys hear that? One of my nephews did. What, you know, that freaked him out. And he's like, what the heck was that? I think, I don't know. And just it seemed like maybe 5 minutes after that had happened, this next step, I mean, it was a loud, just like a loud boom, boom. Like, oh my, what is that? You know, the best way that I can describe the sound is, you know, if you guys ever seen the movie Jurassic Park, where that dinosaur takes the step and you can hear that vibration and boom on the ground.
Right, right.
That is exactly what we heard. And when we heard that second step, but oh my, what is the, you know, I mean, it was huge, whatever that was. And we just hightailed out of there. About maybe, I believe it was about half a mile down the road, we come around this corner, and this thing was, must have been like running along the side of us, because we come around, I come around a curve. Just before I get to the curve on my left hand side, I was driving and I had my window down, and this thing was on, ran on top of the, like a, the, there's like a ledge there. There's a tree and there's a big old boulder. And, I, you know, I know where this is at because I always see this big boulder every time we go down there up there on this hill bike. Well, this thing took another big rock, another boulder, and we just, when I was coming around that corner, had I just looked up, I could have seen this thing. But this thing took another boulder and just slammed it onto that boulder there, and that was a loud, like, crash, you know, rock on rock. And, oh, that was scary. I was like, holy cow, I guess this thing didn't like us down there.
Okay, so it picked up another, as you were in your car and you were rounding a curve, it picked up another,
right above,
go ahead.
Yeah, had another boulder and just slammed it onto that boulder there on the ground. And like I said, had I just looked up, I could have seen it, but I
You were too scared to look up.
Yeah, I was just like trying to hurry and get out.
Yeah, but did your sister see something?
No, she was so scared. She was on the passenger side, but I had my nephew right behind me. He had his window open too, but he didn't bother to look up. But we did hear that boulder rock on rock just slam. And I mean, I just stepped on the gas and we just hightailed out of there.
I wonder what in the world could do that.
Yeah.
What could do that?
I was like, wow, that was crazy. Yeah, that was crazy there.
Have you ever been back? Have you been back since?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I go back there all the time.
I was expecting you to say, hell no.
Oh, no. I still go back there. You know, my other sister, we had back in 2009, my sister at the time, she was a PD with Colorado, and she wanted to go out there and see if we get vocalizations. So I'm like, okay, well, let's go with that. We took all our camping gear and everything and got out there late at night, got there about 11. And then, we had so much stuff going on when we got there, but I'll try to hurry and make this quick, that this thing was moving. We got fire going and all, and she starts seeing this thing moving towards us, you know, from going from tree to tree. And she was saying, hey, sis, something's coming, you know. And I'd walk that way. Of course, nothing. I had my camera, so I started taking pictures. I didn't see anything. Got back, and we started talking to all again about 12 o'clock. And then about 12:30, it seems getting closer, and my sister's getting really scared, you know. So, you know, I kept kind of doing the same thing. And so finally I went that way again, and that's when I got that smell. It was really bad, horrible smell. So I tell my sister, this is the mistake I made. I said, hey, sis, come here. I said, do you smell that? And once she got that smell, oh boy, she got so scared. And she just went into panic mode. And this is one thing that you should never do, is start throwing things around and you want to just hurry and get out. You got to kind of stay calm. And it is hard to, you know, because you don't know how fast these things can move and are they going to attack you or, you know, what are they going to do to you? So I told him, I said, hey, just calm down. You know, you'll be okay. I'll get you out. We'll get out. Oh, man, she was throwing stuff in the truck. I mean, she just went into panic and she got so scared. And so I calmed her down. Like, okay, we had this. Then we had to put the fire out, right? I mean, we had this fire going bright, you know, so we could see all the way around us. And got that out, throwing dirt on there. She was on her hands and knees throwing dirt on there. And I'm kind of like, no, let's throw the burn down because I want to see how close this thing will get. And she's like, go, forget that, you know. So
she's ready to leave, yeah.
Yeah, enough to, like, okay, we can go. So we get into the at the time I had a Jeep Cherokee, loaded everything, got everything back in there. And we started going. And all of a sudden, I feel this tug, like something was holding the Jeep down. And I had the gas all the way down. And she's looking at me, like, cut it out. You're just playing with him. I'm like, no. I said, look. So I told her, can you jump to the back and look out the window and see, did I get hung up on anything? And she's like, no. I'm not, okay. I said, well, let me put in reverse and let's see if we bump it. Now, on this road, there's absolutely no tree stumps, no boulders on that road. It's clear. So there is no way I was hooked on, you know, got caught on anything. So I backed it up and I didn't bump nothing. So we take off again. And just it's almost like we just barely inching, you know, all of a sudden I feel this tug again. And, you know, she's like, cut it out. You know, I'm like, no, I think this thing doesn't want us to leave. And there's more than one out there. So again, I, you know, reversed it. Nothing. So I re-stepped on the gas. I told her, hang on. So I really, you know, shoved it into drive and I just floored it again. Got a little further down, then it just like that tug again. And she really.
Wait, okay, so when you felt the tug, you were going and you were slowing down, once you were feeling that?
Okay. It grabbed the Jeep and was holding it from us leaving. The Jeep wouldn't even go forward at all. And, you know, she thought that I was like hanging onto the brake and then stepping on the gas. I'm like, no, look, my feet is off the brake and I got my feet all the way down on the pedal, all the way down.
Was it spinning or was it just not moving?
Look at him. It just wasn't moving. I mean, I could hear the tires spinning, but nothing. And I'm like, oh, crap. So, again, I reversed it, and I really stepped on, you know, once I got it on the reverse, and it let go, and then it went back. I still didn't hit nothing, no bump, nothing. That was really weird. And so the fourth time, again, I said, hang on. I did the same thing. My foot was all the way down on the pedal, and it took off, and then I could feel that tug again. And I just kept my foot on the gas.
Okay, so you were feeling the tug, but your sister, I'm sorry for interrupting. You were feeling the tug on the bumper. Was your sister not feeling that as well? I mean, because she kept assuming you were doing it.
No, she could feel it. On the third time, she's like, after I showed her that my foot was not on the brakes and my foot was all the way down on the gas pedal, then she believed me. And then, like I said, the fourth time, I kept it on the gas, you know, and finally it let us go. And the Jeep just took right off and we hightailed out of there. And as we were got onto the main dirt road, after we got out of that little valley there, my sister looked at me. She goes, there's one running right beside you. She goes, I can see it. And I looked on her side. I said, yeah, there's another one on your side. So I hit the back brakes. There was another one right behind. So we had three, one on my side, one on her side, one in the back. And they ran us as we were heading out of that area there. It ran us, ran beside us all the way till we got onto the main highway.
Oh, man. So is this the same area where the whatever it was that slammed the boulders together? Was that the same area?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
Yes, it was.
So did you, okay, so before I, wow. That's wild. I don't think I would have went back at all. Was it Sasquatch that you saw running beside you, or was he some type of entities or what? It was Sasquatch.
No, that was Sasquatch. Now, before we had left, when my sister, I'm going to back this up just a few secs here for a few here. My sister, remember when I kept saying she's seen something coming and it was moving from tree to tree. Now, when I flashed a light down there and where she was seeing, I didn't see anything. But the third time that I flashed the light, she's like, it's getting closer. Now, when she says it's getting closer, I flashed the light and there it was. Now, I don't know if you've ever seen an aspen tree. They're white. Tree, their trunks are white, and they're fairly big, but this thing, it's not enough to where it can, when you stand right beside it and you're trying to hide for a big person, you know, like for my size, you know, I could stand right on you and you couldn't see me, but this thing stood like he was trying to hide itself, stand side by side by the tree, but enough to where we couldn't see it. Now, when I flashed the light that way, this thing was standing right beside the tree, but I could see the back of the hair from the head down to the legs. And what I seen was hair that looked, it was reddish brown, very long, very tall. And it was trying to hide itself, but I could see the back. And my sister seen that. And, you know, she's like, oh, my God, you know, oh. That was not the only one that was there, because we started hearing tree branches breaking to the south and to the north of us, kind of like around us. I'm like, okay, they're kind of like moving in on us, because the one that was standing by that tree was from the west. And so Now just picture us at the campfire, and you got one coming from the west. Now you got another one coming from the south and north. So they're like closing in on us. If you understand what I'm saying.
I understand.
And so once she saw that, and when she got the smell of that, you know, we got out, and that's when those that incident there happened there.
Huh, that is wild. That really is. Let me go back here before I forget to actually ask you this question. Okay, so the first time when we were talking, you were telling me about the boulders being slammed together. I'm interested to know if you went back to try and find those boulders or look at that area to see if you saw anything or could determine, you know, what could do that at all. Did you try to go back?
No, I didn't go back after that. The following week, I wanted to go back. It just didn't work out to where I could get back up there right away to see.
Okay. What about negative experiences with Sasquatch? I mean, has anybody told you that, you know, maybe they might have been responsible for missing people or, you know, whatever, hurting someone? I mean, can you tell us about anything that you've heard?
I've gotten reports of it attacking some people. And then also... people were out picking pinions several years ago that this thing tried to take off with one of a family's little girl, and they got, you know, they got her back, and they I'm not sure I'm trying to think, because I did get several reports of that happening. As a matter of fact, you see, this is 20, it's been probably, 3 years now, I think. I think it was like 3 years ago. A family went up pinyon picking in the mountains, and this thing grabbed a little girl while the family was picking the pinyons. And if I'm not mistaken, the little girl started crying or screaming or something. And the family seen this thing with the little girl and grabbed it. It's almost, I get, if I'm not mistaken, from what I understood, was that this thing was trying to run off with her, and they grabbed the little girl. It's almost like they were trying to pull the little girl out of this thing's hands. And from what it sounds like, it's almost like they were like tug of war, like pulling her, and it was pulling, you know, trying to pull her. But the little girl, they did get the little girl back. I'm not sure how they did it. I believe they just pulled her, you know, pulled hard, or I guess, you know, that's what I'm assuming here. But they did get the little girl back, and this thing took off. Now, the following month, another thing, the same thing happened, but it was a little boy. This thing tried to take off with the little boy. And they got the little boy back, and the family just packed up their stuff and they left, and they went straight to, from what I understand, they went to the police department, Navajo PD, and told them, made a report on it and told them what had happened. And I don't know what was done or if anything was ever done about it, but I know.
How were they getting them back though? How was that? How were they doing that?
Like I said, that I believe the parents went after it and grabbed the little girl back, you know, like pulling her back, trying to get the little girl out of this thing's hands. Eventually, I believe this thing might have just let go and it took off running. And that's how they got the little girl back.
What about the little boy? Same thing or what?
The same thing. The same thing. That's what I was told. The same thing. I was like, wow. And so, you know, they did make a report, it's from what I heard, but the family said they didn't know PD was going to do anything. That really upset the family, that seemed like they weren't going to do anything. Or, you know, that this is the thing among the Native people. Another thing is that some believe that if you see this thing, if you look at it, you're going to die within 7 years. And some of the Native people, they even like the Navajo cops, you know, the culture is that if you look at it, you're going to die within 7 years or something bad's going to happen to you. That's sometimes, that's why a lot of the times Navajo people won't even go to check into these things because
it's a, you know, it's that, a bad omen. Yeah.
Yeah. There you go. Bad omen. That's the word I was trying to find you. Huh. But yeah. So,
that's the first time I've heard that.
I've gotten reports of that. Yeah.
What are your thoughts on whether or not these creatures are opportunist, you know, or do you think they might have been, you know, kind of stalking these children before they were snatched? Or what are your thoughts on that?
I think they're stalking everybody. It's not just the children. They do, excuse me, they are very, what do you call it, attracted to kids, especially to the females. So, you know, I tell...
Yeah,
you know,
but they're people, they're only taking the children, correct? Or are they taking adults
there's adults that have come up missing too. So it's not just the kids. You know, there is kids, but it's adults too. You know, so, you know, we said, okay, you guys be careful out there, you know. We don't know what these things want and what they do. You know, who knows, you know, they're killing them, are they eating them? You know, I've heard a lot of stories of that as well, you know. So, you know, we just got to be careful. And there's a lot of researchers like, oh, no, you know, they're not harmful, they're not, you know, but okay, but you got to still be careful.
Brenda, let me just ask you this real quick before we go too far. The people that you're talking about, the adults that are missing, these are people that were never found again.
Right. Those you don't hear very much here, you know, on the reservation. A lot of times they're kept real quiet. Why? I don't know. I don't have an answer for that.
Okay. Wow, that's amazing. You know, I have no doubt that sightings are occurring out there. You know, I've seen so many presentations, and just from my own research, I do believe that something is being seen out there. So tell us about your, you know, like, what are you into now? Are you researching them now for people on the reservation that see them, and maybe people outside the reservation? I mean, what are you doing right now?
Oh, I do. I still do investigations. That's what I do. I look into them, and, you know, I still do the research and stuff like that. I get a report, and people want me to come out there and talk with them about it, and they'll show me some of the stuff that's been going on. They're always like, what do I do? What's the best thing we could use or whatever, you know, and I share a lot of things that may help them to keep these things away. And, you know, like I said, they'll share a lot of things that's going on in on their area there and what's, you know, what's happening and all. You know, like, I just go out there and I try to share with them some of the things that they could do that would help them. That's basically what I do. If I get a report, they want to come out, I'll go out there.
And how do people get in touch with you?
They usually can reach me through Facebook. I am on Facebook. I do have a team page called New Mexico Shadow Seekers. I also have a YouTube channel, New Mexico Shadow Seekers. I do have some videos out there that of some of the investigations that I've done that people can check out too. Also, they can reach me through email, HarrisBrenda, all lowercase, HarrisBrenda46@yahoo.com.
Very good, Brenda. I really enjoyed the conversation. Many blessings, and I really appreciate your time.
Thank you so much.
To find out more about our guest and all others, please visit our website at MysteriousRadio.com. And I want to give special thanks to our co-creator and executive producer, Kim Kyle, who brought this show to you today. And working hard behind the scenes, our team of four, I want to thank them as well. Follow us on social media and share the show with others that may like the subjects that we cover. I am your host, K-Town, and you're listening to Mysterious Radio.